Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Nehemiah. We'll be reading from chapter 8, verses 1 through 10, and that is found on page 420 of your pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And when the seventh month had come, the children of Israel were in their towns, and all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. On the first day of the seventh month, and he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from the early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra, the scribe, stood on a wooden pulpit, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Masariah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, and Micaiah, Hashum, Hashbadana, and Zerachiah, and Mishulam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbatiah, Hadiah, Messiah, Kelita, and Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. And they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people who wept when they heard the word of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Luke. We will be reading from chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. And that is found on page 892 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word to us. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendants, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is the word of the Lord. And now, dear Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. This year in the lectionary is the year of Luke, and we'll be reading from Luke's gospel throughout the course of this year. In our gospel reading this morning, we are told in Luke's gospel that Jesus has gone back to his hometown of Nazareth to preach his first sermon. You're already told that he's been going around teaching. He's apparently made a name for himself as a teacher, but now he's gone back to his hometown of Nazareth. And I suppose if you're going to preach your first sermon, you ought to go back to your own hometown, the place where people know you and watched you grow up. And that's where Jesus is at this morning. The text tells us that Jesus doesn't come back alone, but that he's in the power of the Spirit. Of course, we already know that because we remember 2 weeks ago when we read about Jesus' baptism that the Holy Spirit fell upon him like a dove. Indeed, everything that Jesus does is done through the guidance and the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that's been guiding him. It's the Spirit that will be directed him. Not only is Jesus guided by the Holy Spirit here in his hometown, but we're also told that Jesus is guided by the Scriptures. He is handed a scroll of the Scriptures, and he reads from it. Even though he's the Word incarnate, even though Jesus is the Word enfleshed among us, he doesn't preach his own words, he doesn't preach his own agenda, but he preaches God's Word and God's agenda. He doesn't speak from outside of the tradition, but he speaks from inside of the tradition. That's why we read and listen to Scripture every week. It's our story. It's what guides us. It's what shapes and informs us. It's what imparts the will and intention of God to us. It's also the source of our values. It's where we go to learn what God is saying to us and how God wants us to live. That's the lesson that we see in the Old Testament reading this morning. As the people gather, they gather to listen to the Word. They have forgotten the Word, forgotten their identity, forgotten who they are, forgotten their values. And so they gather at the water gate to hear the Scripture read. And the text tells us they stay there all day listening to the law being read, listening to the Bible be read to them. I'm not sure we could do that today. Sometimes we get a little antsy if the sermon goes past 20 minutes. But the people here listen and they wait and they hear. They hear what the Lord has to tell them as they seek to be guided by the words of Scripture and by the words that have been endowed by the Holy Spirit. The text tells us that Jesus reads as well when he goes back to his hometown. He reads from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It reads, he has sent me to proclaim good news to all those who are poor, to all those who are brokenhearted, to all those who are imprisoned, to those who are held captive, to all those who for whatever reason can't get their lives together. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim good news. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim the year of God's favor to all the people who for whatever reason we sometimes look over, to all the people who for whatever reason we want to exclude from our midst. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord has sent me especially to those people. All the gospel narratives tell us that Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth to preach. But Luke places this episode at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, in part because Luke wants us to understand that this is what Jesus' ministry is all about. Luke wants us to understand that compassion for the poor, for the left out, for the left behind, is the heart of Jesus' ministry. It's the heart of his agenda. It's the heart of his mission. If you want to know what Jesus' ministry is all about, says Luke, here it is. It's about those who are poor and who are held captive. It's about the blind needing to see. This is what Jesus' ministry is all about. This will define the content and the character of his ministry. Luke also tells us this because he wants us to understand what it means to be spiritual. Luke is saying that this is what it looks like to walk in the Spirit of God. This is what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what it looks like when the Spirit falls upon you. This is what it looks like to be a spiritual person. Several years ago, I used to do a lot of work with young people in the AmeriCorps program. And when I would talk to them about their faith, I would hear again and again, I'm a spiritual person. I don't necessarily believe in the God of institutional religion, they would say, or I don't go to church, but I'm a spiritual person. I would always try to ascertain just exactly what they were talking about. What does it mean to be a spiritual person? Sometimes I don't believe they understood or knew themselves, but I think that they were referring to that deep longing inside of all of our hearts, a deep longing that wants to be connected, that wants to be connected to other people, that wants to be connected to something bigger than ourselves. And so I often would hear, I'm a spiritual person. But Luke is telling us to be a spiritual person doesn't mean to escape the real world. There's a whole religious and spiritual tradition where spirituality means not to have any commerce with the nitty-gritty, down and dirty aspects of the real world. But the kind of spirituality that we find in the Bible, and the kind of spirituality that we find in Jesus, and the kind of spirituality that reflects the heart and the character of God, is always a spirituality that is turned towards the world, turned towards the lost, turned towards the sick, turned towards sinners, turned towards those who can't help themselves. We need to remember that the categories that are enumerated in that passage of Isaiah were not just poor people. We're not just people held captive. We're not just people who are in prison, but they were people who are considered to be sinners, people who are considered to be cut off from God. And yet Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim good news to these very people. It was the same spirituality that we find often in the Bible. The same spirituality that reached down and rescued poor, captive, blind Israel toiling away under the weight of Egyptian oppression. The same spirituality that was encoded in the book of the law, where God enjoined the Israelites to remember. Remember who you are. Remember the orphans and the widows in your midst, because you were once orphaned and widowed inside of Egypt before I liberated you, before I rescued you. Remember the immigrants and the resident aliens in your midst, because you were once immigrants and resident aliens deep down in Egypt before I set you free. Scholars believe that the values that Jesus is talking about here in Luke's gospel have their roots in the Old Testament concept of Jubilee, found in the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Every seventh year, which was the Sabbath, the land was to lay fallow. The people were not to work it. The land was to rest because it belonged to God. And not only was the land to rest, but the laborers were to rest. Slaves were to rest. And so were the animals. No one was supposed to do any work. They weren't supposed to go out and work the fields. They were supposed to trust in God. Just like they trusted in God in the wilderness when God sent the manna, the people were to trust in God, trust in what grew naturally. They were not supposed to work the field. And every seventh Sabbath, that is, after every 49th year, was the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee, not only was the land to lay fallow, but debts were to be forgiven. People who had sold themselves into slavery in order to pay off debts were to be set free. People who had their land confiscated or sold was to have their land returned back to them. People who were imprisoned because they couldn't pay their debts were to be forgiven. That was the year of Jubilee. And Jesus is saying that that is what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like the Jubilee year. It's the year when people are forgiven. It's the year when people are set free. It's the year when the captives are released from prison. And Jesus is saying that day is fulfilled. Today, that day is fulfilled in your midst. If you are poor, there's good news, because your liberty is at hand. If you are in prison, there's good news, because your liberty is at hand. If you are hungry, there's good news, because the year of the Lord's favor is here. Whatever you might be experiencing, if you're brokenhearted, if you're lonely, if you're frightened and scared, if you're fearful, if you're sick, the Lord's favor is dear. It is here today. I come to fulfill the good news, the year of the Lord's favor. That's what Jesus is proclaiming. That's what he's saying his ministry is all about. His ministry is not necessarily geared towards the good people, towards the righteous people. We remember when we read the gospel narratives, it's the good people, the righteous people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the preachers and the religious leaders who are against Jesus. But Jesus has come especially for the sinners, for those who cannot help themselves. We see those people in our own community, people who are held captive by all kinds of things, people who are held captive sometimes by their own sinful ways, people who are held captive by drugs and alcohol, people who can't get their lives together, held captive by their family history, people who need to be liberated. And this is what Jesus says he has come to do, to liberate them. Now, perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, Reverend Barge, that's fine, but what does that have to do with us? That's fine, Randy, but what does that have to do with us here at Alney? What does that have to do with us here in the 21st century, here in America? Well, it has a lot to do with us and a lot to do with our world. We live in a world where more and more people are beginning to realize that we need good, old-fashioned spiritual values. We live in a world where more and more people are beginning to realize that the values that have guided our nation, the values that have guided our society, aren't going to work anymore. They can't work anymore. The values that told us that we could be anything that we wanted to be, the values that tell us that greed is good, that we should strive to consume more and more unrestrained by any ethical considerations, those values are bringing our society, our country, to ruin. The values that tell us that it's all about us, it's all about me, don't care about anyone else, just look after number one, look after yourself. Don't be concerned about the people around you. Don't be concerned about those who aren't able to do as well as you're able to do. Don't be concerned about the poor and the needy. It's everyone for themselves. The values that tell us that we can do anything that we want to with the world. We don't have to be concerned about how we treat the planet and what we do with the world. The values that tell us that we can have it, and we can have it now. Those values many people are beginning to realize can't work anymore. We can't live by those kinds of values anymore. Those values are bringing us to ruin. They're bringing our country to ruin. They're bringing our world to ruin. We are reminded that if our world is going to be saved, then it's going to be saved by a whole different set of values, a whole different way of living, a whole different way of being in the world. I was at a breakfast on Friday morning. In attendance was, I believe it was the superintendent of the Philadelphia school system. And she had some very sobering statistics that she relayed to many of the pastors and other religious leaders that were in attendance. She told us that 49% of African-American males are going to drop out of school. That's the dropout rate, about 49%. And for Hispanic males, the statistics are even more dire. 59%, she said, will drop out of school. That's the dropout rate. That's bad news. Bad news for them, bad news for our communities, bad news for our country. We know that people who drop out of school are more likely to be involved in crime. They're more likely to be sent to prison. They're more likely to be murdered. They're more likely to be the ones doing the murdering. It's bad news. She told us that there are also a number of prisons that are being built here in Pennsylvania. And she reminded us that one of the ways that the authorities determine how much prison space to build is that they go and they look at these statistics in the third grade and they follow the trends. How many people are likely to drop out of school and how many people are reading below level and how many people are doing below level schoolwork. And that's how they try to decide what kind of prison space to build in order to accommodate that future. The superintendent told us that the school system can't do it by themselves. She acknowledged that the school system can't do it. We can't do it, she said. We need people who are walking in the Spirit. We need to have good old-fashioned spiritual values. We need people who are going to be imbued with a sense of compassion. We need people who aren't going to give up on people who live in those communities where the dire statistics that I alluded to are most likely to occur. We need people who are going to be filled with the love of God. People who are filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. That's the kind of people we need. If we're going to get on top of this thing, she said, we need old-fashioned spiritual values. Values that realizes that we're all in this together. Values that realizes that nobody can be thrown away. Kids can't be thrown away. African-American kids can't be thrown away. Hispanic kids can't be thrown away. White kids can't be thrown away. Urban kids can't be thrown away. Suburban kids can't be thrown away. We need everybody. The whole community needs to be involved. We need people with good old-fashioned spiritual values. Friends, that's what you and I are all about. That's where you and I come in. We are the baptized community. We are the community that is filled with the Spirit. We are the community that walks in the power of the Spirit. As the body of Christ, we are the one community that says today, God's kingdom values are being fulfilled in our midst. Today, there's good news for the poor. Today, there's good news for young people in our community. Today, there's good news for the elderly people in our community. Today, there's good news for people that believe there is no good news. Today, there's good news for the lonely. Today, there's good news for people whose lives have been taken over by destructive forces and powers. Today, God's kingdom is being fulfilled because today it is being fulfilled in you and I. It is being fulfilled in what we do here. We are reminded that we are called not to serve ourselves, but we are called to serve God and to serve our fellow human beings. Luke tells us about this episode about Jesus going back to his hometown of Nazareth, also because he wants us to understand what we are about. Luke will tell us a little later on in the book of Acts that the Spirit will fall upon the assembled community, the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit will fall upon the church, and the church will go out in the power of the Spirit doing what Jesus did. It'll go forth liberating people from whatever holds them captive. It will go forth proclaiming the good news that God is concerned about everybody. God is concerned about Jews and Gentiles alike. Some people didn't like it. God's not supposed to be for Gentiles. God's only supposed to be for Jews. God's only supposed to be for the religious insiders. Just like we hear that today. God's not supposed to be for some people. God's not supposed to be for outsiders. God's not supposed to be for alcoholics. God's not supposed to be for drug dealers. God's not supposed to be for those people. But we are reminded that the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God blows where it will. The Spirit of God just don't blow in places like this, but the Spirit of God blows especially in those places where people desperately need to hear the good news. And we are told to follow the Spirit, just like Jesus was led by the Spirit, just like the early church in the book of Acts was led by the Spirit. We are called to be led by the Holy Spirit, to walk in the power of the Spirit, God's Spirit of love and compassion for each and every one of us. Every Sunday, we come here. We open the scriptures that tell us of God's love and concern for us and for the entire world. And we declare that through us and through our ministry, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the good news of God's kingdom continues to be fulfilled in our lives and in the life of this congregation. We ask that as we go forward, that we'll continue to walk in the Spirit and proclaim that good news to all that we meet. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us again and again that we are the baptized community, baptized into your community of life, the beloved community, baptized to serve you and to serve our neighbor. We ask, Lord, that you continue to give us that vision, continue to give us that commitment, continue to give us that heart that seeks to serve you and to serve the neighbor, especially the neighbors who are held captive, especially the neighbors who are spiritually blind, especially the neighbors who are materially and spiritually poor. We ask, Lord, that you help us to continue to be your people, to be your beloved community, to bear witness to who you have called us to be, and to bear witness to your future, to the coming of your kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.